Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We're going to have a special broadcast. I have a very dear friend, an old friend of mine, Benjamin Baruch. He is the author of the book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand. He is an extensive speaker on television, radio, conference speaker around the world. He's done a lot of work here in the United States of America, and it's my honor to join him today with the broadcast. Good morning, Benjamin. How are you today, sir?
Hey, good morning. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you with us. You know, yesterday, this is how I believe the Holy Spirit networks things. You came so strong into my heart and mind, and it was as though the Lord was saying, my son has a message for the nation. He has a message for the people. And so I gave you a call. We've reconnected. It's good to be with you. And I really want to just give you the platform this morning to share your heart and whatever it is that God has put in your heart to share with his people today.
Well, hey, great to be back on the radio with you, Vincent. It's been a while, huh, for us?
It has been a while. We used to do this all the time in Southern Cal, and I recall in 2008 you were calling the collapse when nobody else was. That's the truth, and your words came to pass. And that's why I really believe you're one of those voices in the wilderness, one against a thousand, so to speak, that are speaking the truth. And I'm excited to hear what it is the Lord has to say through you today.
Well, where do you begin? You know, there's been so much revealed. The time is at hand. You know, it's come upon us. The day of the Lord is here. And the surprising thing is the Scripture even declares to us that before the Lord comes in visitation, the pestilence, the pandemic goes before his face. And so here we are. You know, the pandemic is upon us. And, you know, I don't really even know where to begin, Vincent. There's been, you know, a megaton of truth that's come forth. I guess let's talk about, you know, the reign of America, Babylon. I would assume most of our listeners are familiar with the revelation and Bible prophecy that America is not strangely absent from the prophetic record, which is what most people were taught over the years. The United States is front and center in the events of the last days because America is actually end-time Babylon. I would assume our listeners are for the most part on that page, Vincent?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, good. Because then, you know, we can start there and make some sense out of all of this confusion. The prophet Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 12, that God had ordained judgment upon ancient Babylon and upon the land of the Chaldeans. And on the scripture says, the nations shall serve the king of Babylon. I'm beginning in Jeremiah 25, verse 11. The nations shall all serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And when 70 years are accomplished, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation. This is Jeremiah 25, 12. We stop right there. God's talking about ancient Babylon. He's talking about Babylon under the reign of Belshazzar. He's talking about the time of Daniel the prophet. But then the verse continues, I will judge the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. Following verse 12, everything in that chapter pertains to the judgment of end time Babylon and is either a reference to the judgment of the entire earth or refers to events that were the opposite of what happened in the judgment of ancient Babylon. Ancient Babylon did not become desolate. The citizens were not taken into slavery. The opposite happened. When Cyrus conquered ancient Babylon, his first action was to set the slaves free. And when the land of the Chaldeans falls at the end of the age, in verse 14, we're told many nations and great kings will serve themselves of them. Rather unclear translation into the King James. You go back to the Hebrew, it's very clear, will take them as slaves. So in the fall of end time Babylon, the citizens of last days Babylon, which the text refers to as the land of the Chaldeans, some of them are going into slavery following the judgment of last days Babylon. And last days Babylon will also be judged after its reign over the nations for 70 years. So how does that pertain to the United States? Well, first of all, we need to talk about who the Chaldeans are. We've all heard the phrase, you know, Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans, but exactly who were these Chaldeans? It turns out the Chaldeans were a separate country. And the word in Hebrew actually translates professional sorcerer. And the Chaldean elite were all followers of the mystery religion of witchcraft and sorcery. And they infiltrated into the nation of Babylon and ultimately assumed power. And once the Chaldean deep state had basically crept in through the southern border, because Chaldea was a nation to the south of Babylon. Once they had literally come through the wide open southern border, because the ancient Babylon never elected a president like Trump, and they never built a wall on their southern border either. And so the enemies came in through the wide open southern border, kind of ironic, and ultimately usurped the power of the political state in creating or inserting one of their Chaldean elites as king and ruler over Babylon. The same thing happened in the United States. The Chaldeans, who are the servants of Lucifer, they are the secret societies, they are the shadow government or the deep state. They came in, crept in unaware, and assumed political power in the United States. And when they did, that's when America was transformed from a nation that pursued primarily an isolationist political policy. Our international relations focus was isolationism for much of our history. But once the deep state acquired political control of our country in the period following World War II, at that point America was lifted up as a world empire. You know, the United States was literally a country that wanted to keep to itself, but yet it was ultimately transformed as the leader of the free world. If you look back to the history of World War II, following the war, all of the global institutions were created in the period 47, 48, 49. These include the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, which put the U.S. sort of as an epicenter for the world economy. The NATO Treaty, the World Health Organization was created. The Organization of American States was created. The Marshall Plan was created. The World Council of Churches was created, which allowed the apostate leaders of the false church in America to exert authority over all of the apostate churches of the world. America became the leader of apostate Christianity. And in 1949, with the signing of the NATO Treaty, the United States became the de facto leader of the free world. And the rider on the white horse went forth to begin to conquer. Of course, other events that took place in 1949, it's absolutely fascinating. The Council of Europe was formed for the purpose of developing a framework for the unity of the European Union. On the same day in August of 1949, the Soviet Union tested its first atomic bomb. The Federal Republic of Germany was officially created in May, while in September, America's first mass shooting occurred. On October 1st, Mao Zedong declared the liberation of the People's Republic of China at the end of a four-year civil war, and in December, the Knesset voted to move the capital of Israel to Jerusalem. Suddenly, all of the end-time actors were presented together on the stage. And when NATO was formed and the treaty was signed, all the leaders from the Western world gathered in Washington to observe the signing of the treaty. Now, under Chaldean tradition, the first year of a new Chaldean king is called the year of ascension. The first complete year of their rule is counted as the first year of their reign. So if you look, the Chaldean deep state was firmly entrenched in power in 1949, but that was the year of their ascension, 1950 being the first year of their rule. And it's fascinating what happened in 1950. The Red Chinese initiated a hot war in Korea, with China and North Korea attacking U.S. forces and attacking South Korean forces, starting a hot war on the Korean Peninsula. A Cold War was started with the Soviet Union. The U.S. Defense Establishment issued a report basically suggesting America needed to pursue massive deficit spending in order to finance the new Cold War. The first credit card was introduced to begin conditioning of the people to going into debt and buying and selling without money. And the first secular Christian prophet of the New World Order began to do crusades all over the United States. And his main message was, the Cold War is a battle between the forces of the Antichrist and Christianity in the West. And so the Chaldean state began to rise. What's fascinating is, Vincent, if 1950 was the first year of the rule of the Chaldean deep state over the United States of America, the first thing they did, aside from starting a hot war with China, a cold war with Russia, they changed the composition of the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Warren Court emerged in 1953, and suddenly the Supreme Court assumed ultimate authority over all acts of our democratic government, and they began to dismantle our republic, and they shifted radical left, and they began basically an era of the tyranny of the judges, where the Supreme Court began to change American society with no regard to the votes or the wishes of the American people. And so they took prayer out of our schools in 1963. And in the same year, the deep state murdered a duly elected American president, John F. Kennedy. He was murdered in broad daylight in Dallas, Texas. They commemorated his life a few years later, and they introduced a 13-cent stamp with Kennedy's head on it, his face. And I have to wonder, since 1963 was the 13th year of their reign, did the stamp commemorate the 13th year rule of the Chaldeans? Because on the stamp is the number 13 and the letter C. The 13th year of the Chaldean rule. 1969 was the 19th year of their rule. 19 implies iniquity, an upside-down world. And by 1969, they had normalized the values of perversion and rebellion in the American youth. The task of corrupting the American family was completed, fatally damaging the Christian foundation of our heritage through the rebellion of the 60s, which came to maturity in that year. At that point, the shadow government normalized divorce. The inflation that was brought into the country forced the mothers into the workplace, and the state took control of raising the children. 2019 represented the 69th year of the Chaldean deep state. And so now the division of our country has been completed. 69 represents the completion of the task of destroying Christian American values. You know, today, the Christian and conservative heritage of our nation is viewed as either white supremacy or a form of racism by a large number of Americans. And so here in 2020, we've entered the 70th year of the reign of America Babylon, and so now her judgment must begin. And, well, Vincent, you tell me, is America changing today?
Well, I'll tell you what, that number 69 is that it's the inversion as well. It's like they've conquered, they've turned everything around. And what a great point. What major information and historical data, Benjamin. And so now we come up to this point where we are where we are. We have been transformed. And I don't know if you want to rush right into, because you're just approaching the 1972-3 decision concerning Roe versus Wade, which has been a huge issue in this country, probably having to do with some satanic sacrifices, the shedding of innocent blood. But you also wanted to get up to, yesterday we were talking about 2008, about the heist that went on and where we are today. So I just want, please, keep on keeping on.
Well, you know, there's so much, Vincent. I'm actually in the process of putting all of this into a book, and I'm going to go very deep into the history of Dallas, Texas, the Roe v. Wade decision, which was adjudicated in Dallas, same place President Kennedy was killed on the 33rd degree, the same location where they detonated the first atomic bomb in White Sands, New Mexico, and they're all part of a massive satanic ritual being conducted to destroy the United States of America. But yeah, the decision in Roe v. Wade made the worship of Moloch legal again in America. And that worship involves the murder of children. You know, it's simply astonishing. The United States of America legalized the worship of Moloch when child sacrifice became legal again in 1973, following the Roe v. Wade decision, and that lawsuit was brought in Dallas, Texas. 1973 was the 23rd year of the rule of the Chaldean deep state. The number 23 represents death, and so death became legal. The death of the innocents was legal in America for the first time. And it was absolutely astonishing that, for the most part, the church looked the other way. And the Lord says in the scriptures in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 4, if the people of any nation do in any way hide their eyes from a man who gives his seed unto Molech, who sacrifices his baby at the shrine of immorality, and they do not kill that man, then I will set my face against that nation, and I will cut them off. Sanctify yourselves, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. So the word of God began to testify against the United States of America in the year 1973. And all across America, this indictment is read and heard in every synagogue, every messianic assembly, every year. Only now the judgment which the word of God requires is going to be executed upon a sleeping church that has turned a blind eye or simply looks away. And what kind of reaction did we witness from the American pulpits when the revelation that the abortion industry was selling aborted baby parts? Practically none. The megachurches gathered as if nothing had happened. Every year, millions of babies are torn apart in their mother's womb, and no one even seems to care. The number one topic in most churches at the end of each year is who is going to win the Super Bowl. Which of the Nephilim teams will reign over the NFL? And we think this goes on forever. Most American Christians find it unbelievable that God would judge an apostate church. I find it unbelievable that the church survived this long. It's absolutely astonishing. The Illuminati killed an American president in Dallas, Texas, in November of 1963. And then 10 years later, in the same city of Dallas, Texas, they legalized the killing of babies. And so this has come round at last. This nation is a scapegoat, if you will. A scapegoat that cannot escape its fate. You know, Vincent, this virus that's been released is a bioweapon. And there's not just one version. And it's not, because of the way this virus was created, it has three different faces, if you will. Part of it is an HIV extract, part is from MERS, and part from SARS. And each different side, the virus is like a little triangle, each different side can attack the cells in your body. And so it's going to be almost impossible to develop herd immunity. This is the beginning of the day of the Lord, and it has come right on time for the 70th year reign of America, Babylon. And, you know, all the watchmen in the nation, the majority of them, couldn't see this coming. They had no idea this was the year the judgment would begin. And now that it has begun, they're still looking at the events in our national headlines today like a cow would look at a new gate. It's astonishing to me that they can't even perceive what is happening right before our eyes. And so with that, I'll take a breath. There's so much to cover. I would direct people to look for the book, The 70-Year Reign of Babylon, that'll be out shortly. Or go get yourself, go online to and go on YouTube, type in my name, Benjamin Baruch, and go listen to some of the teachings, because, you know, the details would take hours and hours to talk through on exactly how all of this is being fulfilled and on the authentication that we really have entered into the beginning of the day of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about the seven-year tribulation. The reign of the Antichrist occurs after World War III, after the destruction of the United States of America, after the fall of the current world order. World War III, which will involve an attack on Israel and the United States using nuclear weapons and then a ground invasion, will ultimately end, and the world political and economic system will be virtually destroyed. The red and black horse will have ridden through the world, and the Antichrist kingdom will rise like a phoenix from the ashes. So we're just at the beginning of the judgment of America. And oh, by the way, the scripture asks the question in Jeremiah 50, verse 44, who will appoint the timing? You know, the scripture asks the question, who will reveal to the people the timing for the fall of American Babylon? And, well, the answer is, they're out there. The men of wisdom have come to give insight to the many. The only question is, how many are listening?
Amen. Benjamin, we have a sister that wants to ask you to please repeat the names of the three sides of the virus.
HIV, SARS, and MERS.
All right, so HIV, SARS, and MERS. And what we're listening to right now, I mean, the historical data is so rich because there are people growing up within our generation that have no clue. They've been totally disconnected from the historical data, and or it has been twisted and turned in such a degree. And let's just talk for 1 minute about what happened in 2008 when, you know, you had been on radio with me in Los Angeles, California, KBRT. We were all over Southern California, and you had been speaking and warning about the 2008 financial collapse while everybody in the news media was a million miles away. And when I talked with you about that yesterday, you said, and I said, this is like 2008. You said, no, it's not like 2008. There's a difference. Can you explain the difference and speak into that?
Well, sure. 2008 was a financial crisis engineered through lending fraud committed by the institutions under the control of the Chaldean deep state. The credit agencies lied. They lowered interest rates to ridiculously low levels at the time. And then they provided free credit to any borrower to buy a house at any price. And so they created this huge housing bubble, and real estate appreciated. The price of real estate appreciated, and it went three standard deviations above the normal trend line. That's called a parabolic rise. It's like a hockey stick. The prices of homes went straight up, and they always revert back to the mean, so we had a complete collapse. And it was an engineered financial crisis to basically rob the people, not only the public in the United States, but the people of the earth, to rob them of their savings, because so many pension plans and so many endowments and so many people were tricked into investing in this pumped up valuation. And so the deep state was able to steal trillions and trillions of dollars, then turn around and pass major bailout legislation where they bailed out the banks for the losses that they absorbed as part of participating in the scheme, and they left the American public holding the bag. So it was a bank robbery, it was a shakedown, it was a Ponzi scheme. But that was merely a financial shenanigan designed to steal a few trillion dollars. This is the beginning of the culling of the herd. On March 22, 1980, the Georgia Guidestones were unveiled. 40 years later, they've begun the process of reducing the population of the earth to no more than 500 million. There was a book written in 1981, Eyes of Darkness, in which the author basically wrote a fictional account of a biological weapon that would be released in Wuhan, China, and he called it the Wuhan 400. Well, we are in the decade of the 2020s. And what do you get if you have 2020s? You have 400. Benjamin Baruch is my name, and I'm a descendant, scribe of Jeremiah. Now, some people can't receive things, so fine, let it go. But for those of you that can hear, hear me now. Jeremiah and his scribe, Baruch, prophesied for 23 years, and then the judgment came almost immediately. I was translated into the future in November of 1996 out of my living room. I'd been running money on Wall Street. I was on the executive committee for a number of Christian charities and foundations, and I was running God's missionary money on Wall Street at the time, praying and asking the Lord, show me the end of the matter. Well, he answered me literally, because he translated me into the future. And I have seen where you are going. And November of 2019 was the 23rd anniversary of my testimony before this nation. And it's amazing that within days, this biological weapon was released intentionally. I've got a good friend who is an expert on these things. His name is J.R. Nyquist, and shortly after this pandemic first broke in China and began to spread around the world, I called Jeff on the phone. I said, Jeff, I had a flash of revelation go through my mind. This is a bioweapon. They did it on purpose. It's going to cull the herd. It's going to reduce the population in China. It's going to spread all over the world. And then the nations are going to quarantine. And then the more powerful versions are going to be released. And he actually got mad at me. And he said, you don't know that. None of that's been authenticated. You're just speculating. I said, no, I see bodies, pictures of bodies burning. in piles outside of the cities in not too many months from now. And, you know, he actually kind of got mad at me. But about a week ago, he called me on the phone. He said, well, okay, yes, it's a bioweapon. And yes, as crazy as it seems, they released it on purpose. They can't feed all their people anyway, and it mostly just kills the elderly who are beyond their working years. And in the communist countries, the population is merely a resource. When it's no longer productive, it's disposed of. And yes, it's initiated the beginning strategies of World War III. I mean, the Chinese military, Vincent, has announced, they revealed on numerous occasions that they intend to use biological weapons to start World War III. And I'll just quote a speech made by one of the vice chairmen of China's military commission. This is a General Chai Houtan, and he says, you know, Western countries establish colonies, giving themselves an advantage. To solve this problem, we must lead the Chinese people outside of China. Only countries like the United States, Canada, and Australia have enough land for our colonization. Therefore, to solve the problem of America, it is the key to solving all of our issues. In the long run, the relationship of China and the United States is one of life and death struggle. Only by using special means or biological weapons can we clean up America and be able to lead the Chinese people there. Only by using these non-destructive weapons can we kill large numbers of Americans to be able to reserve America for ourselves. That we've made rapid development in modern biological technology, and our new bioweapons are going to be quite effective. You know, and he just goes on, and he says, bioweapons are unprecedented in their ruthlessness. But if the Americans do not die, then the Chinese will have to die. It is indeed brutal to kill several hundred million Americans, but that is the only path that will secure a Chinese century, a century in which the Chinese Communist Party will lead the world. We, as revolutionary humanitarians, do not want death. But if history confronts us with a choice between the death of China and the death of America, we will choose the latter. For it is important for us to safeguard the lives of the Chinese people and the life of the party, comrade. And I'll just note, Vincent, that for our listeners, they may not be aware, but the Chinese are working with the Russians, and they have planned long ago a world war to destroy the United States. And you know, the thing that's been so confusing to so many is, you know, what is the relationship between the satanic elite, who are the Chaldeans? They are the sorcerers who serve Lucifer. What's the relationship between them and the communists, who are the Reds, who also serve the Red Dragon? Well, they work together. Actually, they're on the same team. Actually, at the top of the Communist Party in these various countries, you will find Luciferians, who are part of the Chaldean deep state. And so the thought that the satanic shadow government would use their satellite nations, if you will, in a plan to destroy America, it boggles the mind of the American people. Yet the book of Revelation tells us the 10 kings who will rule with the Antichrist for 1 hour, they hate the woman Babylon. They hate America. So they strip her naked and they eat her flesh. That was the 2008 financial crisis. That's what's been happening to our country as they've debased our currency, stolen our jobs, moved our factories to communist countries, buried our middle class, and then literally created an opioid heroin addiction to literally silence any outcry. And now they're planning to burn her with fire. So they're going to use the missiles of Russia and the troops from China to execute the judgment written against the United States of America. And this is merely the beginning of the events of the end of the age. But the good news is, if you study the scriptures carefully, the Lord is not done with the United States. This judgment is going to purify our country with fire. And yes, there will be millions of Americans that are going to die in the war that's coming, in the pandemic that is here. But there will also be millions who are going to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And when the nation itself turns back to the Lord, and this will happen, it's in Jeremiah 50, verse 44, the Lord says, you know, and I will make the enemies of America suddenly run away from her. And at that point, the Lord will lift his hand, and these forces that have invaded our country will simply run in fear. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, I'll just read Jeremiah 50, verse 44 for you very briefly here. Behold, he, the Antichrist, will come up like a lion. And, of course, we know the Antichrist has the head of a lion, body of a leopard, and feet of a bear. From the swelling of the Jordan, that's the crisis in the Middle East, the final world war will start in the Middle East. The Jordan will swell first. Under the habitation of the strong, that's America. But I will make them suddenly run away from her, says the Lord. And who is the chosen one that I will appoint over her? And who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before my face? Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he has declared against Babylon, and the purpose that he has purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. He will make their land desolate at the noise of the taking of Babylon. The earth is moved and a cry is heard among the nations. And so, you know, God is going to deliver the remnant of America. And so if you're a spirit-filled Christian, you don't need to be afraid in this time. Yes, darkness is coming. Yes, judgment is here. And yes, we haven't seen anything yet. It's only just the beginning of the storm. But the Lord is coming forth. If you read in the book of Habakkuk, the scripture declares the Lord is coming forth for the salvation of his people. The Lord's coming to judge the wicked, and he's coming to resolve or to answer the controversy of Zion. But in Habakkuk 3, we're told that he comes forth for the salvation of his people. When the Lord showed me the judgment that is about to come, Vincent, he translated me back into my living room. I fell on my face weeping and screaming, and I was hysterical from what I had seen. And the Lord answered me. I screamed, Lord, what must we do to be saved from these judgments? And the Lord answered me in an audible voice, and he was so calm. Very, very calmly, the Lord said, I will protect that which is mine, and everything else will be destroyed. And I mean, Vincent, he hit that destroyed word. I mean, it shook the house. It was 100-plus decibels. It was as if the Lord slammed his fist on his desk. So I think he really means it. Everything else is going to be destroyed, but he's going to protect the people that are his. And as scary as these days are going to be, in the natural eye and in the natural mind, we'll all be tempted to become afraid now at different times. This is going to get bad. But the Lord told us, when you see these things happening, you are to look up. You are to look to the Lord. You keep your focus on his word, and he'll keep you in perfect peace. If you look to the earth, you're going to see darkness and trouble. You're going to see things that the world has never seen, a time such as never was. And yes, some of us will probably be martyred, and some of us may die from the pandemic, and some will die in the war, and some will die from the sword, and a remnant will be saved, and they will be raptured at the last trumpet. And the dead in Christ rise first. And those of us that are martyred, we get a crown of glory. And, you know, regardless of whether we're going to be among the Christians who give their lives for the Lord or among the remnant who stay to the end, we're all going to the kingdom. We're going to be in heaven very, very soon. This is coming to pass, and then it's going to be gone. And it's going to seem pretty intense for sure, but at the same time, the Lord promises he would never leave us or forsake us. Now, so what should the righteous do? Well, I think you should do what the Lord tells you to do. And a good place to start would be the Word of God. So what has the Lord told us to do in this hour? I would direct you to the writings of the prophet Joel, which are very explicit. For the generation who sees this thing coming to pass, you are to gather the elders, call the people, gather together in solemn assemblies, in times of fasting and prayer, and you are to confess your sins one to another. Confess the generational sins of your family. Confess the sins of this nation, the sins of your church. Stand in the gap for others and confess your own sins one to another. Fast and pray and ask the Lord to heal his church, to set free his remnant, that we could be preserved and protected in this time. And the amazing thing, Vincent, is, you know, I've been teaching for a long time. I have recently learned, you know, perhaps again, and maybe I saw this years ago, the majority of Christians have never fasted and prayed. I mean, it's mind-boggling, but I guess it goes with the Laodicean era. Because Jesus, you know, when he was confronted by the Pharisees, and, you know, they were looking for reasons to rebuke the Lord, you know, one of the charges they brought against him was, well, we all fast and pray, and the disciples of John the Baptist fast and pray. How come your disciples don't fast and pray? The Lord answered and said, when the bridegroom is with them, they cannot fast and pray. But when the bridegroom will be removed, all of my disciples will fast and pray. So if God's disciples all fast and pray, then what are these churches where nobody fasts and pray? What are they? Well, they're not disciples. Well, then what are they? They're about to be purified in a very severe fire is what they are. And if they had any sense about them, they would immediately be declaring solemn assemblies and immediately begin fasting and praying, because that's the easy way to sanctify your vessel so you don't have to be cleansed in the fire. Because remember, the Lord said, I will protect that which is mine. And if you're born again, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and your spirit belongs to the Lord. But what about your body? What about your temple? Has it been sanctified? Is it holy under the Lord? Or are you walking in the compromise of this ruined age, like so many of us, struggling with, you know, the strongholds, areas of unforgiveness, roots of bitterness, you know, places of compromise? And look, I'm not trying to condemn the church. We live in a defiled time. The land is defiled. The blood of 70 million babies has been poured out. The pharmakia and the sorcery has created almost like a canopy of darkness over our nation. You have to virtually pray through a hindrance in the second heaven to even break through to the anointing now. And this great falling away that was prophesied to come, it has touched everyone. It's not an us versus them. We all need to fast and pray now. We all need to gather in solemn assemblies. There's not a one of us that's ready. Look in the book of Zechariah. Even Joshua, who is that one of the elders the Lord's about to bring forth, and, you know, these men are hidden at the moment. You know, there's a whole new leadership being prepared by God. You got two witnesses coming. You have 144,000 anointed ones coming. You've got seven shepherds coming. And then you've got a whole new ministry of the fivefold ministry of the Holy Spirit about to come forth. But look in Zechariah chapter 3, and the Lord showed me Joshua, the high priest. This is the very governor standing before the angel of the Lord, Satan at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, I rebuke thee. For is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? And now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments, and he stood before the angel. And if you look in the Hebrew, that word for filthy garments, he was covered in excrement. Joshua had fallen into the sewer, and we've all been covered. You can't but watch TV. You can't even go on the internet without pornographic advertisements popping up on newspaper pages. The whole land is defiled. Every element of modern society has been weaponized against you. Satan is using everything to destroy the testimony of Jesus in the earth. So what should we do? Turn off the television. Come out from among them. Enter your prayer closet. Close the door. Begin to fast and pray. Enter into your solemn assemblies. Now we're under quarantine. They've ordered the churches to stop meeting together. Wait a minute. I thought there was a separation of church and state. We weren't allowed to have any place in their public life. They should have no authority in ours. But yet, the beast usurps authority over everything. But in all seriousness, folks, the day has come. You know, if you don't fully understand, Vincent, I sent you a link to an article that I had published pulling together this whole concept of the 70-year reign of America Babylon. I don't know if you can post it up on the YouTube page with this or what, but the people should seriously be paying attention because the world has changed, and we're not going back. I know Trump's talking about us going back to work, and you know what? Maybe they'll do it. Maybe they'll open up the U.S. economy again, and they'll put everybody back together. But this thing is not over. We're not dealing with the flu. This is a bioweapon, and we've only seen the beginning of it.
All right, so well said. I mean, this is just phenomenal information, no doubt, and people are listening. They're being educated. You brought the balance, and I heard confirmation after confirmation. What side of the day are you on? And that's the big question. Are you on the day of light and glory or on the day of darkness and gross darkness? Because it's one day, it's either side, and this is all designed to get us in the right direction. And yes, God is restructuring the church, and he is changing everything right now through the crises. There's opportunity. But Benjamin, there are people all over the world right now that are just kind of hanging out and just kind of waiting for this thing to pass. And the sheeple basically are not recognizing that we're being led to the slaughter. So many people in the world today. And Steve Bannon last night, I was listening to the War Room with Steve Bannon, and he and his other hosts were talking about the necessity. He's very close to the president of the United States to shut the entire world down for 30 days, to make it a mandatory edict for 30 days, shut everything down. Now, that information is probably going to get to the White House, and the people will again acquiesce, and they will basically just go into, you know, whatever they're being told to do. But this is kind of a dangerous thing because it appears that perhaps during this separation and getting people in their homes, there's something else being implemented within the world. Do you have any insight to what may be implemented? Do you believe anything about the 5G towers, for example, that they are playing a role at all?
Well, are they part of the virus? No. Are the 5G towers a health risk? All of that RF radiation is a health risk. But no, the 5G is another part of the war against humanity, but it's not involved in the virus. You know, Ecclesiastes 12 talks about a time when the keepers of the house will tremble, when the strong men will bow to the ground, and when the sound of the grinding will cease because they are few, a turning off of the economy, and a time when those who look out windows, the windows will be darkened, and people will be afraid to turn on the lights soon. The doors will be shut in the streets, for the sound of the grinding is now turning low. Economic activity has already almost ceased, and the daughters of music and entertainment will be brought low, and there shall be fear in the way. And at that time, the almond tree shall flourish. And that's the awakener, the prophetic voice will flourish. And, you know, we're already in a world where the earth has stood still. And global supply lines are crashing all over the world. And it's not just supply lines. We were facing a food crisis last year. You may remember the weather, record floods, record freezes. You know, half the cropland in America was in standing water by June of last year. So there was a huge reduction in the production of food. And, you know, there's reports even now that, you know, there's shortages all over the distribution system of almost everything. And yet, you know, they're going to blame it all on panic buying, but these food shortages have been developing, you know, for years. And, you know, if you look at some of the things that have been happening, you know, you got to look at the news behind the news. For example, last year, the news had a report of a swine flu epidemic in China where, you know, over half the pigs were slaughtered. 500 million pigs were killed. They died of swine flu or they were killed to stamp out the virus. Or were they? Other reports indicate that these pigs were used to prepare massive stockpiles of meals ready to eat for the Chinese army that's going to need large quantities of food soon for the war that is coming. The Russian government allegedly resigned in January. Or did they? The entire Congress, the Russian Duma, allegedly resigned based on an action Putin took to change the Constitution. They were all outraged, so they all resigned. Well, actually, it was just a ruse. They all went home, and they began to work remotely as Russia quarantined their nation, and they put figureheads in their place so that when the Russian government moves into their survival bunkers on the eve of the coming world war, the world won't notice the disappearance of the actual Russian government. Reports are widespread of elites in the U.S. bugging out. Record numbers of CEOs of the Fortune 500 have been resigning and leaving the country. So most Americans still want to believe that the coronavirus is nothing more than the flu, but the wealthiest people among us are leaving the nation. Now, this thing is serious. Who could have seen this coming? You know,
absolutely.
The preppers saw this coming.
Yeah.
The people who knew the Lord saw this coming.
Benjamin, let me do this. We've got just about 9 minutes left in the broadcast. I always want to give opportunity to our listeners to call in if they have any questions or comments. This is the time to do it. I'm going to open the telephone lines. The number to call is 818-369-0326. If you have a question or comment for Benjamin Baruch, he is the author of the book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand. You're hearing a lot of truth today, wisdom, maybe. It's been silent. I mean, all on the Facebook and on YouTube, people are tuned in, they're listening, but it just got quiet because of the impartation that was going on. But right now, the voice of many waters, if you have question or comment, 818-369-0326 is the number to call. So, Benjamin, in these last few minutes, and unless we get some calls coming in, how would you like to kind of wrap things up, begin to wrap things up and share anything else that's in your heart?
Well, you know, the plans of the enemy have been clearly revealed. And, you know, people that I would direct people to the book, The New Tactics of Global War, if they want to understand, you know, how our enemies have prepared this war against us. And, or I would direct you to, you know, the Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51.
Amen. Amen. So that is it. Let me just get this over here.
All right. Nobody has any questions because there's too much to absorb. I mean, Vincent, we'd need 20, 30 hours to go through the detail of,
and we may
of
get
what
a...
I just tried to summarize.
No doubt about it. So, a lot of people are thinking about the month of April. There's been a lot of conversation from truly prophetic voices and people with discernment and insight that April would be a very interesting time. We're on the second day of Nisan right now, 5780. We're marching towards Passover. And isn't it phenomenal from all the different locust plagues to coronavirus to, you know, what we see going on right now in the world? Doesn't it kind of resemble just a little bit of what happened 3,500 years ago when God was about to move his people out into the wilderness? I do have
absolutely.
A call.
The second Exodus is going to begin. Following World War III, the second Exodus will occur, and the remnant will come out of the ruins of America, if you will, and they'll begin coming out of every nation in the earth. Because the rest of the globe is going to go under the rule of the Antichrist. And, yeah, the greater Exodus will begin, and the final 7 years of history will begin. And and that'll actually be a good time for the remnant.
I think so. And for pardon me for the interruption. I do want to get this call coming in from South Dakota, area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. I wanted to ask this, Benjamin. Okay, did he say earlier that he traced his lineage and it went back to the prophet Jeremiah? And what is the name of his book? And where can you order it?
No, I'm a descendant of Baruch, who was the scribe, not the prophet, just the bookkeeper. And my book is The Day of the Lord is at Hand. I also did a series called Search the Scriptures, which are basically a published version of the most powerful anointed audio messages that came forth on YouTube by the Holy Spirit. The Lord told me he wanted to publish those in a series of books. There are four of them. The first volume is Out of the Darkness. The second is You Shall Know the Truth. And when you come out of the darkness, you'll know the truth. And when you know the truth, volume three is The Remnant Shall Return. You return to the Lord once you know the truth. And volume four is I Am the Door. And those books, go read the reviews for Out of the Darkness on Amazon. People are writing things like, this was the most powerful book I've ever read in my life. I've read it five times. It's changed my life. I couldn't stop weeping as I read this book. I mean, the book Out of the Darkness will change your life if you can hear the Holy Spirit speak through the pages. It's going to change everything, which is the reason why Satan really doesn't like the ministry that I have, because everywhere I go, people start fasting and praying, and they start repenting, and that ruins Satan's day, because we still have the authority, you guys, over all power of the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
Does
Benjamin,
that answer
I've
your
got
question?
A call. Yeah, it did, and I'm going to get more information out for our listeners here before we get off the air. Let's take this next call. It's coming from my beloved wife, Patricia Joy. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Benjamin. It's good to have you on radio today. And one of the things that have been on my heart personally is that a known prophet had just mentioned today that he believed
2020. Yeah.
April 12th, he will now say to the public, tribulation has begun. Is this something on your heart as a reality, or is there still some days or months left?
When you say true, who is going to say that to the public?
A well-known prophet.
Is going to tell the public the tribulation has begun on April 12th.
Exactly.
And does that mean the Great Tribulation or the final 7 years or the beginning of sorrows? I'm not sure what he means by that.
I don't either, but it was just the word tribulation, whether it is the last part, the 3.5 years, or the final 7 years, I have no idea.
Well, the scripture is very clear that the life of the nation of Israel would be 70 years, and if by reason of strength, it shall be 80 years. And the Hebrew text for the reason of strength is if the Gabarim come, and Gabor means power. Gabarim is plural, and it's the word in Hebrew for the 144,000 who are the mighty ones. They're the mighty ones of Isaiah 13. So if the 144,000 are revealed, Israel will be able to live to 80 years. That would take us to 2028. If we back off 7 years for the burning of the weapons, according to the prophet Ezekiel, the end of World War III will be sometime in 2021, which would put us between now and the fall of 2021 as the beginning of the pandemic, the financial collapse, social chaos, martial law, persecution of the church, nuclear strike on the United States, foreign invasion, war on our soil, the Lord's intervention, the redemption of the remnant, and the collapse of the world, and then the beginning of the creation of the one world government of the Antichrist in towards the end of next year. So I don't know what he's referring to for April 12th, but this pandemic is going to explode at some point. Right now, people think it's the flu. People think the government's overreacted. But this is a bioweapon that's been released, and it's part of the strategy of our enemies, the Chaldeans, to use biological warfare to so weaken the country that we're unable to defend ourselves militarily when we're finally attacked in the fall. And so I would tend to think, you know, perhaps, I don't know what that person said or what they meant, and not sure how you would measure whether or not it's real, but I would think, you know, trouble's coming, but no, the great tribulation is the final 3.5 years. The Antichrist kingdom, he will confirm the covenant of the many for 7 years. We won't necessarily see when that happens, but they will also burn the weapons after World War III, according to the prophet Ezekiel, for 7 years. I, for one, do not think that 7 years extends into the millennium. I tend to think that we have roughly about 8 years left to human history, give or take.
All right, so there it is. And you know this particular individual. I know who Patricia's referring to. You've actually been on one of his programs. That is the Prophecy Club. So maybe you guys could chat again, because I know there's probably a good friendship there. So, Benjamin,
you're saying I know the guy?
Oh, yeah, you know him. You've been Stan Johnson from the Prophecy Club.
Okay.
Yeah, Stan.
Yeah,
so,
we're not friends or anything. I don't know where he gets that information, but I kind of doubt that that's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, very good. Listen, we've come out of time, and I'm going to give some people some information before we get off the air. But before I do, I want to say thank you for joining me, and thank you for sharing what you did. What an incredible impartation. Thank you, and may God's great blessing be upon you and protect you, Benjamin, for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Vincent. Patricia, God bless you guys. Hey, call me back when you're off air.
I certainly will. Okay.
All right.
That is it, ladies and gentlemen, on Facebook, YouTube, Omega Radio, Blog Talk Radio. Here's how you get a copy of Benjamin's book. All you have to do is go online and type in "The Day of the Lord is at Hand." If you're interested in taking a look at the coming out of darkness, or the 70 weeks that was referred to during the broadcast, just text me. You could email me or text me, and we'll make sure that those get to me. And I could send you a copy that was sent to me of the 70-week information. So The Day of the Lord is at Hand. Benjamin Baruch, he is the author of that book. It was an amazing way to close out Friday. A lot of thought. It's a wake-up call. There's a trumpet blast. Another voice crying in the wilderness. Another voice standing against the status quo. Another voice declaring the day of the Lord. The signs of the times are everywhere. There's no games, no facade, no drama. The truth. Prepare your spirit, soul, and body for the days that lie ahead. It is March 27th. It is 2020. I'm Pastor Vince. I've got to go. I'll see you on Monday, right back here on Omega Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, and YouTube. Until we meet again, shalom and God bless you. Remember, right now, on OmegaRadio.org, a roundtable discussion, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. You're going to love it. And then, of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on Omega Radio. Goodbye, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday. Shalom.